Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll have The Choice Is Yours coming up at 8:30. Joe Rex Road in the questions chair today, so looking forward to that. Preds Pick the Click a little bit later this hour as well. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've discussed several different paths that the Titans could take this offseason. I still believe the most likely path is that Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback next year, Derrick Henry is the running back, and you try to make some adjustments and some additions this offseason to the offensive line, to the wide receiver group, any way you want to put it. But I said this earlier in the show, to me, regardless of who the GM is, regardless of what you do at offensive coordinator, if you're bringing Tannehill back and you're bringing Henry back, and you're keeping the defense mostly intact, although I think we all would agree that Bud Dupree probably not going to be here next year. If the defense is mostly intact and you're bringing those two guys back offensively, like, to me, that signals that you still feel like you can win, and you can win next year, and you can get back in the playoffs. So if that's the case, why would you not try to maximize that? Why would you not try to not only compete in your division, but why would you not try to push toward a Super Bowl? Otherwise, why are you bringing him back? Like, if you're bringing Tannehill back and you're bringing Henry back, to me, that tells me that you believe you can still go compete for a Super Bowl. So I bring that up because yesterday Jordan Schultz reported, and this is not a huge surprise given all that's going on in Arizona the last couple of days. They fired Cliff Kingsbury and they fired the general manager. So it's a total reset down there in Arizona. But Arizona is going to attempt to trade DeAndre Hopkins this offseason. Jordan Schultz's report was, quote, Cardinals plan to try to trade all-pro wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins this offseason. Hopkins has 2 years and $34.36 million left on his contract and is likely to seek a new deal. Owner Michael Bidwell plans to express this to general manager candidates. So it looks like DeAndre Hopkins is going to be on the move this offseason. If you're the Titans, should you be intrigued by DeAndre Hopkins? Should you pursue adding DeAndre Hopkins to this roster and upgrading the wide receiving core? What do you think of the Hopkins report and how the Titans could possibly fit in?
Well, first of all, I totally agree with your premise. And if you agree with your premise, then I don't see how the answer could just be a hard no. If you are going to bring back this core, then the idea is that you think you can get back and be a competitor, a contender in the AFC, right?
I would hope so.
We have another professional team in town where the question is, are you just okay getting the playoffs and being pretty good and having playoff games? I'm sure every team wants to be a championship team, right? But the Preds have not taken like the hard step to try to like rebuild, so they're kind of in the middle right now, right? You don't want to be there. It's different in the NFL. But to me, like, I'm with you. If you're bringing those guys back, is it to, okay, well, we maybe get like 9-8 next year. You know, the Jags win the division, but get in, be a wild card, be okay, be fine, be not terrible. I don't think that's how you think about it. And again, in this league, there's a lot of rebuilding that goes on, but in the NFL, the rebuilds, like the bounces back and forth, are a lot quicker. They can't, or they should be. I mean, unless you're just horribly mismanaged, like certain franchise that I know well.
They're 9-8.
But hey, they had an amazing locker room celebration for going 9-8 and not making the playoffs. Awesome. Good job, guys.
Winning record.
Yeah. How about that? No, I'm with you. I think you have to look at it. Now, what's the price? What's the market? It seems like I'm seeing a whole bunch of other teams that are, you know, a lot of talk about the Patriots and the Browns and whoever else may be interested. I think there might be a robust market for him. My question, of course, 30 years old.
He'll be 31 next year. Yep.
Be 31 next year. What, you know, what level of player are we talking about here? We know the last time this happened, which I was a huge fan of. I think you were a fan of that move, right?
Oh, yeah.
It turned out that they got him right as he was taking a sharp turn toward the worst and toward being just a so-so whatever player, a guy who had been arguably the best receiver in the league for probably three or four seasons. DeAndre Hopkins has arguably been the best receiver in the league for a couple seasons here in this last stretch, but he's getting hurt more often. And
there's a PED suspension.
Yeah. So there's a lot to be worried about, but I would absolutely look at it. I think the concern is, like I said, someone's probably going to be willing to overpay for him, and you don't want to do that. I assume one thing here is, of course, there's history with Hopkins and Vrabel have been in the same organization together, so yep. That I would think would be a good thing. But it just comes down to, like, how good do you think he is? How much would you have to pay? But you absolutely should be looking at it as a possibility. If you're not blowing things up at all, if you're pushing forward, then you need a receiver.
Well, the part about this that I would want to know, if I'm the Titan, let's say you go for it and this intrigues you. Okay, well, what does the new deal look like? If DeAndre Hopkins wants a new deal, well, what exactly does he want? Because he is going to be 31 years old. You know, obviously the wide receiver market since the last time he got paid has changed a lot. And we know firsthand what that looked like last year based on the way that the market changed. So what exactly is it going to look like? Now, having said that, you were an organization last year that did not want to pay your mid-20s wide receiver, and that guy's gone who made that decision. How much different will the decision look like now? Number one, based off what you saw your offense look like without that guy and without having the game changer. And number two, with different people in charge now, either whether you want to view that as Mike Vrabel having more say or whoever the new general manager ends up being. The DeAndre Hopkins part of it's interesting because I agree with you. I think the market could be a robust one for him. I think that he'll have a lot of interest out there. So maybe the Titans could get in that mix. Maybe they can't. But regardless of if it's DeAndre Hopkins or somebody else, like, to me, the point still remains. Like, if you're bringing Tannehill and Henry back, whether it's Hopkins or elsewhere, do you not have to make a big swing this offseason? Just because otherwise, what's the point? Like, if you think you're just going to bring those guys back, go back with the defense and draft another wide receiver and hope that, like, Treylon Burks takes a massive step being a number one, and then whoever you draft is a 1-2 combo at wide receiver and you fix your offensive line, maybe it works. But that's a whole lot of what-ifs that have to go your way to get back into being in serious contention.
That's true. But, I mean, even if you're full bore and this is your plan, I think somewhere in there there's just going to have to be some hope, right? Like, somewhere in there it's like either –
well, the offensive line for sure.
Yeah, but offensive line you could – say, no, that's the focus of free agency and the draft, and it's just going to be fix that. And then Burks is going to be a number one receiver, and Kyle Phillips is going to be healthy and going to be really good. And I don't know. How about Racy McMath? Racy McMath is about to become a big-time playmaker in the NFL. I don't know. I'm just throwing names out there. NWI is still around, by the way.
He is.
No, he's going to the Bears for the first pick.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. But then there's also even hope on defense. Like, somewhere in the whole – thing, you're going to have to be like, well, I mean, Beau Claire mentioned Caleb Farley. There's a name we haven't talked about forever. I mean, I've kind of just dismissed that.
Yeah, me too.
You know, which I think is probably the right way to look at it. It's sort of like now it's like, well, hey, if he surprises you and gives you anything, great. Which is not great when it's not great if that's your first round pick from 2 years ago, but like that's how I kind of look at it. But somewhere along the way, okay, Landry's coming back. You're going to cut Dupree. And by the way, I can't wait to see where Bud Dupree gets like 14 sacks next season.
I know.
But you got to hope, you know, like Weaver takes a big step or something. Like, you know, you draft someone in the fourth round who comes in as a rookie and helps you. Like, there's somewhere along the way, like, you're not going to be able to, on paper, totally fortify everything.
No, and you're right. I mean, there's going to be some level of hope that you have to have regardless of the way that it plays out. I'm just saying, like, if you're bringing those guys back, to me, as a general manager, as Vrabel, whoever's making the personnel decisions, like, I think you got to give yourself the best chance to be successful, right? And, like, they need, to me, a proven guy at wide receiver this offseason. Like, the wide receiver core to me, you look, I know Kyle Phillips – showed some flashes. Like, I don't even know if it's a guarantee that Kyle Phillips will be here next year. Like, to me, you played one game. The guy who drafted him is gone, and he wasn't durable throughout this year. He'll probably be back because he's a good player when he's healthy.
Yeah, and he's on a cheap rookie cheap deal.
So he'll probably be back. But really, other than that, like Robert Woods, I don't think there's any reason to bring him back if you're the Titans this offseason. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, look, I like that he can block in all seriousness. I think he's a good number three, maybe number four wide receiver. But I wouldn't be upset if you're the Titans to like almost totally revamp the wide receiver room this offseason. They were that bad.
I think he'd be back in all seriousness, and I know, of course, I'm saying Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is going to be back. But I do because he is good to have in the room. He's a guy you can plug in anywhere, play in a pinch. But you want him to be down the depth chart.
Exactly.
And so I actually – Phillips is interesting because I actually think Phillips could be good. And I think he could be that slot guy that they've liked to have when they've been able to have one healthy on the field. So I think he's going to get an opportunity to be that, but there's no question. To me, like a free agent and probably a drafted receiver are necessary, and you need both of them to like push everybody else down so that Kyle Phillips can be a situational slot, but you're not depending on him. Like player A and player B at receiver need to come in with Burks, and then that's your top three.
No question about it. 615-737-1025. What do you make of the idea of the Titans potentially pursuing DeAndre Hopkins in a trade? 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yes, because, of course, it's NFL wildcard weekend, and the easiest way to get in the playoffs is with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, my sportsbook. Letting you know that new customers join today, you can get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. All you have to do is sign up with promo code JOE102. FanDuel has all your traditional favorites, of course. You can just bet a game on the money line. You can bet a game on the point spread or bet on a player prop. But if you combine them, you can get a bigger payout with the same game parlay. I've been talking Jags Chargers this weekend. I like the Chargers. I like Justin Herbert over on the pass yards, and I like the over in this game. I actually think that we're going to get an up-and-down offensive game. Do this all on an app that's safe, secure, super easy to use. Don't miss out. Place that $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code JOE102. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner in the NFL. Must be 21 or older, present in Tennessee. First online room and wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is now available. Free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025.
Should I talk?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. People are asking about Paul Kaharsky. We will not have him on this week. Paul lost his father last week, so condolences to Kaharsky and the Kaharsky family. And if you are so obliged on Twitter, send him a little love.
Yep.
Send PK a little love.
Absolutely. So hopefully PK back with us next week, but obviously way more important things than our radio show going on right now in his life. So looking forward to having PK back with us next week. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Big E on the text line says, Hopkins would be a good addition, but he's probably going to cost too much, and you still need another wide receiver, younger guy with speed. I'd rather spend the money on the offensive line. This from Big E on the text line. I would say the majority of what I've seen on the text line so far, people not necessarily buying into the idea of going to get Hopkins. Chip from Mount Juliet says, Hopkins equals Julio. Can't stay healthy. Great talent, but can't stay on the field. This from Chip from Mount Juliet on the text line.
Jared's screaming at me, too, on my personal text line.
There you go. So,
someone brought up to me, two organizations now have decided to move on from him, which is a, you know, a red flag, could be viewed as a red flag.
Now, granted, well, one was Bill O'Brien, but yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, my response was you can explain both away situationally. I mean, Bill O'Brien, like, I got the idea. It was just a bad one at
yeah.
the time.
Yeah, it
you
was.
Know, given where you were, that was an example of you're in a window. Oh, here, let me smash that window, and then I'll board it up and also hammer the nail into my own finger.
Yes.
But it's a fair point. I mean, look, his age, the injuries, where things are going. And the thing about Hopkins, too, like, for example, look at him last year. What did he average, 11 a catch, 11 to a catch right. this year? You know, Vrabel, the quote from Vrabel about getting faster, yeah, Hopkins is not that.
No.
No. Look, to me, in general, yes, look at it. Make a call. Well, you don't have someone to make a call.
Yeah, find somebody to make a call.
I mean, Ryan Cowden right now is the acting GM.
He is.
So Ryan Cowden could – and honestly, I think Ryan Cowden, by the way, should be a legit candidate for this. I never understood the – you're firing the head of an entire department and then you're going to go – with someone within it like that, you know what I mean? That doesn't add up to me, but I think he's going to be an NFL GM, but he would make the call now, I guess. And of course they're doing interviews. I have my doubts that it would be worth the cost. Someone on the text line said first round pick. My God, no,
no,
he is not you do not trade a first round pick for DeAndre Hopkins right now. The dude is going to be 31. He's declining. He's a declining player. He's still a good player, and if you got a healthy season from him, it could make a big difference for you. But I'm certainly less confident in getting a healthy season from him right now than I was in Julio a couple years ago. And we know how that does. That situation doesn't mean this situation is working out the same way, but I understand why you would immediately make that link.
For sure. Like, look, here's kind of where I fall on this. I'm not sure that I would be comfortable getting DeAndre Hopkins, especially for what the cost may end up being, not only with compensation to give up, but if he is looking for a new deal, like, what does that look like? I don't know how comfortable I would be. So I'm not saying that if I were in charge of the Titans and I'm the general manager, that DeAndre Hopkins is the guy I'm going to get. To me, this is more about the larger point. If you're bringing Tannehill and Henry and those guys back, it signals to me that you still think you can be competitive. So if you still think you can be competitive, why would you not try to maximize the window that you're in? Because I keep saying it, but like, if you're just going to bring those guys back and you're going to be 9-8 and that's what you want to be and then squeak into the playoffs, well, what in the world's the point? Just go ahead and rebuild. That's my point. So it doesn't necessarily have to be Hopkins, but if you're going to bring those guys back, to me, you need to do something this offseason that vaults you up where, even though you don't have guys like Burrow or Allen or Mahomes that we've talked about in the show already, can you get yourself back to a place where you're competing and a legitimate Super Bowl contender in the AFC? If not, I don't really know why you're bringing those guys back next year.
Right. You're bringing them to me, yeah. You're bringing them back because you're telling yourself, you are saying, look, with this defense, with that quarterback and running back in their current form, healthy, protection, and more downfield weapons, this team can go into the playoff game and go beat anybody out there. I don't care that their quarterback's better. Brock Purdy might win the Super Bowl this year. Screw him. I mean, that's what that's what I'm saying. And if you talk specifically about receivers, man, the free agent class of receivers, and I'm looking at PFF, which is my main source for news, which apparently
really life. Yeah.
Ohio State is the PFF national champion, by the way.
In case good for anybody
them. Was wondering.
Way to go, Ohio State.
Yeah. Good job grading out. Let's see. Jacoby Myers, Juju Smith-Schuster, Darius Slayton, DJ Chark, Alan Lazard, Marvin Jones, Mecole Hardman, and Jarvis Landry are the – I mean, and then you can keep going through the list. You got Paris Campbell. I mean, hey, AJ Green. How about another formerly – dominant Arizona Cardinal. Julio! Julio's a free agent.
Bring him back.
Mac Hollins, Nelson Aguilar. I mean,
it's pretty weak receiving.
It's a bad crop of free agent receivers. The thing is, no matter however you want to cut it, so much of next year is Treylon Burks.
Oh, yeah.
For the Titans.
There's no question.
At least, can he be a full season player who's like a good two? You know, like, who has to be your one, but he's, you know, I'm trying to be realistic. mean, maybe he'll come out next year and have 1,500 yards receiving, but long way to go for him.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Chris from Atlanta. Chris, thanks for calling in.
What's up, fellas? So, Robbie, I understand, you know, wanting, you know, to maximize the playoff window and all that, but bringing in DeAndre Hopkins is not going to do that. I don't feel, you know, he's injury plagued. He's getting on up there in years. He's been serving PED suspensions. We've run into these situations at least two times now, you know, once with Julio Jones, and now we're going through it with Robert Woods. You know, is this guy performing up to his potential? The answer is no. I mean, if it was me, I would say, well, if you really want to bring Ryan Tannehill back and you really want to bring Derrick Henry back, then solidify the offensive line that's in front of them. Give those guys time to, you know, make the holes for Henry to run through. Protect Tannehill the way he could actually survey the field and throw to, you know, Treylon Burks or Chigakonko, and go get a wide receiver in the draft that could give you more time later on. And you could build around that guy with Burks and Okonkwo. You're thinking it needs to be, okay, what can we do now, but also what can we do for the future? And I just feel like if you trade, you know, if you're trading draft picks for DeAndre Hopkins almost in the same vein as you did Julio Jones, and it doesn't work, well, you just hurt your future even more so, like we did with Julio. I mean, we gave up, I can't remember the deal, but we gave up a second or a third rounder for Julio.
Second rounder.
Something that could have been really valuable, you know, to use, especially with J-Rob's history of finding success, at least in the second and third rounds. So it's just like, if you do this, you're almost holding back your future just a tad. So if it was me, I wouldn't do it. I mean, but that's my personal thing. I mean, I think you need to solidify the offensive line first.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, look, like I said, I don't know that DeAndre Hopkins is the route I would go. Now, I will also say this. You can do both. Like, you can solidify the offensive line, or at least attempt to, in the offseason, and also add to wide receiver corps. Because, look, I'll say this. Let's say they go out and fix their offensive line this year, and it's to a place next year where it's not an elite offensive line, but it's good enough. Well, that's great. Obviously, that helps you a ton, both in the running game and with protecting your quarterback. That doesn't change that this receiving core is nowhere close to good enough. It's not close. I mean, you have Treylon Burks, who is, I think, a good player, who showed some encouraging signs. Hopefully he stays healthy next year. Beyond that, what do you have on this receiving core right now? It's not close to good enough.
Yeah. I will say, though, here's how I would put it, and I know we can come back on this too, but if you gave me the choice, you know, I'm running the Titans, and you gave me a choice. Okay, you can basically be around the same one area, and you can be, like, way better and really good relative to the rest of the league in another area. Receiver or offensive line? You're improving one drastically, and the other one is, like, you're basically counting on players to develop, things like that. I'm 100 times out of 100 going offensive line. Because yeah. I agree. I mean, if you actually – if you can run it better, but especially if Tannehill has time, like Tannehill will still – he'll move the ball for you. It's not like these guys are completely incapable of making plays. When you have it like you had this year, I mean, some of this year, I don't know at times how good some receivers are, because it doesn't matter because Tannehill's on his back.
That's true, but I mean the next-gen stats, the numbers, and just watching them would tell you they really struggle to get open.
No, I agree that both areas are subpar, for sure. But I think Burks is a guy who can get open.
Yeah,
I
agree.
He's going to have to,
yeah,
a lot.
Let's quickly go back to our phone line. Welcome in Jeff from Franklin. Jeff, thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys, got a question, and not everything we're talking about is legitimate, but I don't feel like remind all of our listeners, how many teams are there totally in the NFL?
32.
Exactly. We rank dead last in passing defense. And I don't get where enough discussion or whatever it is, emphasis, and we've had injuries. Every team has injuries. But do y'all really think there's enough emphasis and discussion on our pass defense? But it just seems to be overlooked by the needs of the offensive line, the quarterback. I, and again, I understand that, but would love to hear your all's feelings. Is the defensive passing game getting enough attention? Thanks, guys, so much.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. No, Joe, quickly, the one thing I would say on that is, I mean, obviously the Titans agree with Jeff to some degree because they just fired their secondaries coach. So Anthony Midgett just paid the price for the Titans being ranked dead last in pass defense. There's, a few different reasons that go into that. Yes, they need to be better in pass defense. I also think they got to a point where teams just basically said, yeah, we're not going to try to run the ball against the Titans, and that was also part of it. Obviously, towards the end of the season, you couldn't generate as much of a pass rush as you did earlier in the season. There's a lot that goes into it. But the quick answer is, yeah, the Titans, I think, feel that way because their secondary coach just paid the price for it.
If you are the best third down defense in the NFL, the volume of pass defense number is overrated. I'm not saying they're good enough, but that's not nearly the – I mean, they have to get better there, but that's not nearly the problem the offense is.
And really the only stat I care about defensively is how many points you give up.
And how many games this year – it was good overall, and how many games this year against really good offenses did they not give up a lot? They gave up winning totals most weeks.
Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
We all have choices to make. This or that. Like right now.
Come on.
It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit jaredcompaniesinc.com.
Come on.
The Choice Is Yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the week. Time for The Choice Is Yours, brought to you by Jarrett Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Get your free estimate at JarrettCompaniesInc.com. Joe Rexroad in the questions chair today. Joe, I turn things over to you.
Sports or non-sports?
Non-sports.
Non-sports.
You have to give up one of these for the rest of your life. All desserts or all appetizers?
Man, that's a good one. I think that I would give up all desserts. I'm a big appetizer guy. I think I'm giving up all desserts. And, yes, that would include banana pudding and really hurt my soul. But I think I'm giving up the desserts.
Yeah, and you can't cheat like banana pudding dip or something. Yeah. Okay.
That would be very miserable.
Yeah, that would be really, really tough. But I'm on the same board as Robbie. I love me a chip and a dip or a little pig in a blanket or something like that. And
nachos?
Yeah, nachos. Sometimes even when people do desserts at events, I'm still doing the chips and the dip. I'm an all appetizers gal.
I really didn't think that we'd all be the same in this. It's tough because I love desserts, but also thinking about prolonging, my death.
Only 50, Rex.
I go appetizers. All right, sports. Here we go. Titans. I got two Titans in the sports today. So now listen carefully. You have two choices. You can blow it up, and you will get one of the top quarterbacks in one of the next two drafts. But when I say that, I'm saying – first round quarterback.
Okay.
So we don't, that could be a number of names in 24. We know a couple it will be. I'm not saying you get one of them, I'm saying a first round quarterback. Or next season, you will run it back and you will be middle of the pack in both your offensive line, your receiving core, and your health luck relative to the NFL.
I'll start on this one. I'll take the quarterback. I understand. Let's just think about the Titans middle of the pack injury wise a couple of years ago. What would that have meant? I mean, they were already the one seed, but probably would have won a couple more games there. Offensive line was atrocious this year. Wide receiver group was atrocious this year. So if they're middle of the pack and all that next year, I mean, they could win 10, 11 games. Might win the division. I'm still going quarterback. I think long term, because of the conference they play in, I read it off earlier. Patrick Mahomes is the oldest starting quarterback in the playoffs this year in the AFC. He's 27. Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Herbert, Jackson. We'll see what happens with Lamar Jackson. But for the most part, those guys aren't going anywhere. You got to find a solution for that and get into that conversation if you're the Titans at some point. I'll take the quarterback.
I'm on the same page. I'm on the exact same page as you, Robbie. And I think when you take a look at middle of the pack for the Titans, I think that, you know, you look at in just in this division, the Jacksonville Jaguars are getting better. You didn't think they'd be able to win the division this year. I think that they will be the clear favorite heading into next year. They're getting Calvin Ridley. Trevor Lawrence will be just another year in the league. I think the middle of the pack and looking at the AFC as a whole to get a wild card position to go to the playoffs, that's really hard. You might as well just blow it up now and rather than just being mediocre for the next couple of years.
Well, see, so I don't think you're going to be mediocre if your health looks good, your defense is back, Landry's back, Henry, Tannehill. And maybe this is a little bit because I want to see it, you know, but I would pick the running back with these guys for next year with the idea of I think it would be interesting to see what they can do. I think, again, people forget they were the one seed last year. But also – you could still bottom out in a couple of years, and I'm sure that in 2025 there's going to be great quarterbacks. And it's like at some point you have to get to that. But I think this group – and at that point then like Byard's about ready to retire and Simmons is getting older, and then it's a more like everything can kind of
– get Stetson Bennett in the first round when he's 32?
Oh, there you go. We've got some Stetson Bennett questions in the text line today. But I would go that way. And maybe, again, it's a little bit of that because I just want to see what it would be like, but – I think that actually they could have something. All right. I'm doing another – I don't know why, but we're just giving things up. Today, you got to give one of these up for the rest of your life. Beef, chicken, or pork?
Ooh, this is a tough one. I think – first off, the answer that I want to give is none. But I think I'll go pork. I think I'm giving up pork. I enjoy beef. I really enjoy chicken. So I will go with pork. It hurts my soul, but that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the one I eat the least. I definitely eat chicken the most. And beef, I feel like a stir fry. Honestly, pork, you can have turkey bacon. You can have substitutes.
Oh, my God.
Feels wrong to even say. Yeah.
Listen, it's not as crime against listen, humanity. It is not as good, but when you cook turkey bacon for a while, you forget what real bacon is like.
Oh, boy.
But I will say, then when you smell real bacon and have it again, it really just runs you back a couple yards, but I think that would be the easiest for me.
Okay.
So pork as well.
I'm also giving up pork. I mean,
wow.
But again, it's just the same thing. Like, it's, you know, my heart not exploding. It's hard. Like, you got to have chicken wings, you know? And it's cooked so many things with chicken.
Grilled chicken.
And you can't not have a steak. Like, you can't. You can't not have a burger, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, I eat all three of these things in excess. So.
I mean, but sausage, bacon, pork chops, pork tenderloin.
I know.
Dude. Why did I
don't
even
like
ask
your
this question? I'm sorry. All right. Derrick Henry, this is another Titans hypothetical. You can have this. This is the run back scenario.
Okay.
You can have Derrick Henry at his absolute peak numbers next season.
Okay.
Or you can have Ryan Tannehill at his absolute peak numbers next season.
Tannehill. I'm going, I just think quarterback position at his best would give you a shot. And to me, that. If he's at his peak numbers, that would tell me the offensive line's a little bit better. Obviously, the receivers are good enough. So I will go Tannehill and trust that Derrick Henry, even if he's not at his peak, maybe is somewhere around 1,300 yards. I'll go Tannehill.
I mean, he had 1,500 with no passing offense this year.
I know. I'll go Tannehill.
This one's tough. I think I'm going to go Derrick Henry on this one. Are you saying no changes to the receiving core or anything like that? You're just saying team.
No. The run back and whatever they do to try to fix the team. I'm just saying one of these two guys is going to have a career year. Which is it?
I'm going to go Derrick Henry. Just because he's the king and
it's
a hard
mean.
One. I mean,
that would mean like 2,100 yards rushing.
Well, right.
Yeah, and
that should help.
15 touchdowns, 16 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's the thing. If like the media person, I'm definitely picking that one because a ridiculous thing it would be to
be
cover
insane.
That.
Be definitely be in the Hall of Fame.
But I think if I'm the Titans, I think I'm going to go Tannehill too because I think Derrick Henry will still be really good. I mean, you could make the case. Well, if he has 2,000 yards, how much does that help everything?
Yeah.
But yeah, Tannehill having that means he is getting protected. That means he does have people who can get open. And I just feel like that's just going to help. I mean, Derrick Henry's going to benefit from that too, right?
I would think so. That's a good question.
There you go.
I enjoy that one. LD from McMinnville.
Let's just
on the
all
text line
never give up bacon.
Says turkey bacon. Someone escort Michelle out of the building immediately. This is from LD from McMinnville.
You need to sit all weekend, watch like 20 different movies we pick for you, and eat nothing but regular bacon.
That is correct.
And not turn on the Kentucky Tennessee basketball
game. Don't watch
the
Cats. That's right.
There's that too. This has been The Choice Is Yours. You can check it out every Wednesday morning.
Turkey bacon's not bad.
At 8:30. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. And it is that time of the day, finally, for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs, going for win number 4 in a row on the road.
Chase just wants less of us. That's I mean, come on. Chase, you're like, guys, what do you think about a 15-minute show? How's that sound for you?
Sounds good.
Yeah, you like that, don't you?
Look
at you.
Less than either one of you can talk, the better off we'll be. Maybe some truth to that. The standings in Preds Pick to Click are as follows. The listeners have taken the lead. 10 correct answers. The listeners, the first ones to reach double digits. I'm at 9. I thought I was at 10 last time out, and then Duchesne got called for being offsides.
That's a shame.
Which he was about 4 feet offside.
That's a Duchesne.
That is a Duchesne. I'm in second.
Such
with
a
9.
Dad joke.
Joe in third with 8 correct answers, Michelle with 6. So the listeners have reached double digits. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Brian in Hendersonville. Brian, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
I'm going to go with Roman Josi.
Roman Josi, the selection. Brian, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
So Josi is off the board, and Joe, as fate would have it, I'm up first today.
How fitting.
So Josi is off the board. I'm going to go with number 9, Philip Forsberg, in the competition.
Crazy.
He's on a roll right now. I think I'm going to stick with him, number 9. Josi and Forsberg off the board. Joe Rexroad, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
I seriously thought Michelle just said, how bleepy. She said fitting, but I was like, wait, did she just say how bleepy?
she did not.
What was that word again?
I can confirm.
How bleepy. Bleep the bed for Bedard.
Thank you. That's out the window now.
March on for Manning.
Nice. Matt Duchesne.
Seemed very confident in that selection. Josi, Forsberg, and Duchesne off the board. Michelle Knezvik, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Okay, I'm rooting for the young guys. I have not picked, well, mainly because I think the listeners have, but I have not picked Forsberg or Duchesne in a while. And now I can, obviously. But I'm going to go with Tommy Novak. I'm really pulling for him, young guy.
Nick Kieser says no. No to Novak.
Michelle's well, Jeff back here said yes.
All right.
Jeff says yes. Yeah. Jeff's like, okay. All right.
I like it. So the selections in Preds Pick to Click. Josi, Forsberg, Duchesne, and Novak. Preds Pick to Click presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds taking on the Leafs tonight. We'll see if they can get it done, going for win number 5 in a row overall and win number 4 in a row on the road trip. By the way, a quick TV note, game's on TNT tonight, so keep that in mind. Pre-game here on 102.5 The Game at 5:30, puck drop at 6:30 in Toronto. I would assume probably going to be Saros tonight, Joe, and this will be another big test for him. He is locked in right now. We know what he did in Carolina, shutout last time out on Monday. And then, obviously, when you talk about best offensive teams in the league, Toronto is on the short list. We'll see what I would assume Saros does tonight in that.
Yeah. We know that they're a very explosive team, and also we know that whatever they do, the entirety of Canada media chronicles every last every last shift. So Soros has a big game in that tonight. It's a big deal on the in the Vezina. I'm talking look, Vezina campaign now.
If Soros plays tonight, like if the exact same game that he played in Carolina happened tonight in Toronto, he'd win the Vezina.
Right, that's all they'd be talking about. Yeah. I mean, I will say, we had to do like hot takes or whatever, like bold predictions for the season. And my bold prediction was that Soros will win the Vezina, which 6 weeks into the season looked hilariously dumb.
But let me tell you, there is not a goalie in the league playing better than he is right now. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. And I'd really be close. Like the way that he's played the last 3-4 weeks, I mean, the numbers are just unreal. And obviously, you're talking about a 2-game stretch for him where 64 saves against Carolina. Lankinen gets the next night against Washington, and Soros back in there against Ottawa with a 38-save shutout. Played about as well as you can play the last two times out for UC Soros.
And the thing about Soros is, I mean, this is where the big-picture discussion, to me, this is a strong one on the side of, like, this is why you want to be good and you want to win, you want to get in the playoffs because he's your goalie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you have a goalie, how many of these teams who are – good still are in the goalie wilderness, you know?
Well, and think about last year. I mean, let me just be clear. They were not winning that series against Colorado. I don't care if UC Soros was in net.
Agree.
But could you have got a game? Could you have got two? I don't know. Maybe not. But you can't tell me not having him in there didn't make a huge difference last year in the playoffs. So, if he's playing this way, I mean – that's the thing. Like, if you're the Predators, if you're a Predators fan out there, and let's say you want to go the rebuild route and the tank route or whatever you want to call it, it's hard to do that when you have UC Soros as your goalie. And it's hard to do that when Philip Forsberg scoring the way he scored the last few weeks. And look, we talked to Poile yesterday. The offense as a whole, beyond Forsberg, has gotten a little better over the past month. And when you combine that with the way your goalie's playing, I mean, if they keep playing this way, they're going to win a lot of games moving forward.
That's true. How about trading Soros? I mean, I'm in Titans trade draft free agent mode. What would you get for Soros?
Well, if you ever reach that decision right now in the prime of his career, you could get a lot for him.
See, it's like your scenario of 67 saves in Toronto. You trade him that day.
That day. Five first round picks.
You leave him there for all of their picks.
Speaking of the game tonight, join us tonight at Nobles, located at 974 Main Street in East Nashville, for Preds away game watch party as the Preds take on Toronto at 6:30. Come watch the game, get some Preds swag, and also enter for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game that taking place tonight. So we'll see what the Preds do tonight. This is a huge stretch from the standpoint of, I hope they got their sleep last night, because they're getting ready to be extraordinarily busy over the course of the next week. From now until next Tuesday, they play 5 games. They got Toronto and Montreal in a back-to-back set tonight and tomorrow, Buffalo at home Saturday, and then a Monday-Tuesday back-to-back at home with Calgary and Columbus. 5 games, 7 days for the Nashville Predators. That's a lot.
And Soros is playing so well. You know, Lankinen's been a nice backup, but you know what? I say give him all the Soros. Give him all the Soros.
Buddy, get ready.
I mean, he played 3 games in 1 in Carolina, We know he can do it.
That's true. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rexrow. Joseph, great stuff today. You're on your A game. My goodness.
Nice job.
Go Road.
Matt Duchesne, baby.
What a stud.
Dad joke. Add it to the dad joke tapestry.
Speaking of Matt Duchesne, he's joining Chase and Michelle coming up at 9:30. That's next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.